Good day, ladies and gentlemen. You are welcome back to In Isaac's Eyes, and we have arrived. The final episode for this season, Legacy of the Father. And honestly, we have so much packed for you. And with me this time is my very, very good friend, Wisdom. I am the one on the hot seat this time, and trust me, you guys are going to enjoy it. Thank you so much for all of you who have followed this series from the get-go, episode one till now. I'm so grateful, and I really appreciate all of you.
So it's like a violent takeover. I come over here and get onto your podcast, and then I get to fire questions your way.
You know.
Okay, my name is Moses Wisdom Tibaje. I am Ugandan. I met this guy, Isaac Labi, here in Daystar University. Look at that, two nationals, internationals meeting in Kenya, you know, and we've become friends along the way. I've shared a couple of experiences.
I know, right?
Man, it's a beautiful life. It is a beautiful life. Shout out to the Nigerian community that's going to be listening to this podcast. If I knew how to greet in
yeah, just leave it at the shout out to don't try don't try anything else.
I will try and go on, but since I do not know how to, we'll let that drop. What Germany, like people from Germany, we get. Hope you all are good. Thank you so much. Why do you have a German audience?
What can I say? Is the Lord. When the Lord blesses you.
Who do you even know in German?
Absolutely.
Germany. Nobody. Yeah.
Nobody. You know? When Jesus places a gift, who am I?
But you know, they say Nigerians are pretty much like Kikuyus in Kenya. Y'all are everywhere.
What do you mean? Well, yes, like
Nigerians are everywhere.
I mean, we are what makes the world function.
You will get stranded on an island and you're alone, and you'll meet a Nigerian on that island. You thought you were alone.
Oh my gosh! Thanks.
I mean, y'all are beautiful people. There's no doubt in that. But also, you're also very crazy people. I mean, You can attest how the Kenyan government and the relationship with you and the Kenyan government.
Well, like we don't usually count that side of
Oh well, but that is not why I am here today. I'm here to first of all, I want to say thank you for giving me this opportunity to join your podcast In Isaac's Eyes, and we are wrapping up the season.
Yeah. Six episodes.
Legacy of the Father.
In six episodes, we're happy the season. Wow.
It is six episodes, but I think we are calling it a season because it actually is a very specific kind of podcast, this one, like this specific season. And you have to be careful you do not drag on. But then also, I don't think it's wrapping up the season. Because this is a legacy. Legacies are never wrapped up. Legacies do not. It's not a legacy if it dies.
That's true.
You get. So, in a way, it is a continuum, but also it is the end of the episode, but it's also the continuation of the legacy. So, how has it been like for you getting your family involved in this podcast this far?
Well, first of all, it was never part of my plan that I would one day see myself involving my mother or my brother and my uncle in the episodes, because I was just like, you know, like this time I was just like, you know, let me engage my family members for once, actually, like let them participate. Let them participate, because it didn't make sense to talk about my father's legacy and now leave the people who lived with him, people who were closest to him, actually, if I may say. And yeah, and I felt it to be more connected, in the sense of me involving my mother and my my sister, my brother, my uncle, the people who were closest and were there when everything happened.
I mean, it is quite an ingenious, a very genius idea that you picked it up, and you give people opportunities to share the perspective. It's like a coin. It has two sides, but if you're looking at it, you'll only see one side at a time. Mm-hmm. Now, until you flip it around, then you can see the other side, and that's basically what I feel you did, right? That you gave people an opportunity to also express themselves and to share their experiences. You see, most people will say share. I mean, appreciate the good times. Do not just concentrate on the loss. And I think that is a good thing when you intentionally reflect on the good times. I feel like that is a very profound opportunity that you gave your family and your family friends. Was it your idea
to involve?
Because you said it was initially not part of the plan.
Yeah, it was my idea actually. What actually happened, like, just to give, you know, for your faithfulness, let me tell you the behind the scenes. The episode that I involved my sister, it was supposed to be an episode where I spoke about my parents' marriage and, like, their life together. But, like, every time I stepped on the mic, I was blank. Blank in the sense that there was nothing I could say that was... I don't know. I just felt like I would start talking and I would lose it after 4 minutes. So I was just like, okay. The plan was actually to just put my sister and my brother in one episode together at once.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Spread them. You might as well just spread them.
And that was
the start. And with my friend Tugi, who actually was helping me plan on how this should go and how long should the episodes be, she was like, okay, this week is when Father's Day is going to happen, so it would be really nice. I was just like, yeah, it would be really nice to end it on this day and do this and do that. So yeah, that's how.
And then you missed Father's Day.
Imagine.
Because you thought it was a different day.
I actually thought it was Tuesday. Sorry, pardon my bad planning. But anyway, like...
But it's well.
It is well. Because Father's Day, you know, I don't think I would have had the guts to do this on Father's Day.
Yeah. About your last episode, man, the ending was epic. It was full of suspense and full of... I don't know. It was really gripping. What is the build up to that? What was the story behind that? Because I know this is not just this is not scripted. Definitely is not scripted. So what is the real story behind that?
Well, that it was coming from a place of okay, I've interviewed my sister, my brother, my uncle, my mom, and in all those interviews, there's one specific question I asked all of them, and the question was like, what was it like on that day? For my sister, she was just like, she was shocked. For my brother, he was shocked as well. He never knew. My brother was leaving the house to go and pick him, to bring him back home, not to say goodbye. My uncle, who was the one that took him into the hospital when the doctors were whispering to each other and he refused to accept their statements. My mom, who was asking God if this was the best way he could. You know, I felt like those moments there are the raw moments. Raw moments in the sense of, as much as we are Christians and we believe Jesus, we are human beings as well. And I felt like that was showing the very, very human side of my family, especially from my mother, a woman who strongly believes in God. But at that moment, that was the question she asked, because she was in a point of pain. And then talk more of me. Honestly, so many people till date, like even my mom does not know the conversations I had with my dad. Conversations in the sense of the plans I had with him, because I can remember when I called him and I was like, I'm sorry, because I still am, but I was really stubborn at that time. Stubborn in the sense of I was not listening. I was not reaching out. I was blocking them away. Like, these are my parents, but I didn't want to accept that. I was like, you know what? I can't do this on my own. I don't need them. I have people around me that can help me. But those people around me disappointed me countless times. And I got to a very, very dark spot in the sense of now I was lost. It's like I forgot my identity. I did not understand my purpose anymore, because I deviated into so many things and all the mistakes, countless mistakes. And that was what I brought to my father. I can remember it was November. And I called him and I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for pushing you out. I'm sorry for this, but I've been struggling in life. And I really, really don't know where to go. Like, I've hit that spot of I'm about to give up.
Yeah.
What am I to do? People said I'm made for greatness. People are giving testimonies. People are talking of scriptures when I was born, but I'm not seeing anything. I'm not seeing all of that because I am really, really struggling. It felt like I was being choked by life in the sense of there's expectations from your family members, there's expectations from outside family members, there's expectations from your friends, yourself. There is a certain standard you're supposed to be living by, but you're not living by those standards. Your relationship with God is not as strong as expected, considering where your family stands with God and everything. So it was like I was the bad egg in the family. Like, no one noticed it, but that's how I felt, considering I know how my life was. Only I know the things I was doing. So I was very ready to now engage my father fully, because I was like, I'm at this point where I need my father. I cannot lie. And I felt like that was the only person I could turn to, in the sense of he would listen to me and understand, considering I feel like he has a similar story, sort of, and everything. And yeah, so that was the plan. You know, we get together, we talk, we engage, and he helps me better my life. And then things went south. And that's why that day took a big toll on me, in the sense of, this was not the plan. God, you knew what I was trying to work on. God, you were there when I said, like, I want to change my life for the better. And this man is the one to help me to do that. But yet, you decided to take him. So what do you want now? What's your plan? And I've not gotten an answer till today. It's like that silence and everything. So I just wanted people to see that side. Because it's like, yeah, we judge God faithful. I didn't judge God faithful at that moment. Till now, I'm still a little bit on the ish side, but like, I didn't judge God faithful at that moment. I judged God wicked at that moment. Like, that was the human side. Like, why will you do this when you knew this? You know? And if you're the God of all miracles, why didn't your miracle come through when it was needed the most? And then I think what pained me around that period was that everyone but me was acting like, Jesus is alive, Jesus is good, Jesus is amazing. But I'm like, is that what your heart is saying truly? I felt like I was the only one left on the other side. But like, I didn't tell anyone, obviously. So it's just like, people are like, we judge God faithful. I can remember still watching his burial, and like, because after those first 2 days he passed, I did not cry till that day I was seeing him being buried. And like, seeing my mother cry in front of his coffin was just something that was just like, is this how it's meant to be? Is this really your way? Because like, okay, first you feel like you're the son of God, you're God's favorite. Then at that moment, you feel like you're like a pawn. in God's scheme, it's like, God, don't you care about me?
Mm.
Like, okay, you've created me for your purposes, but what about me? Does it have to be you only? What about me? You know, like, the human side starts bringing those questions.
Indeed, mm-hmm. Indeed. Yeah. Way. I feel like I could ask so many questions, but I'll go to this one. So with all that and all that said, and considering the journey that it has been creating every single episode until where we are at the moment, what benefit has this been to you?
First of all, I kind of feel like, in a funny way, his passing has kind of brought me closer to my family. Because I will tell you, for me personally, I did not feel like our relationship was that close. Because, like, there's so many things that happen in my life and I'll say nothing. I'll go quiet. It still happens now. I do my best to engage them, but I don't know, every time I always felt like I was a burden or something like that. But now it's much more easier. And the fact that they accepted the podcast was the greatest shock.
Is this like one of the few things you've done together as a whole family? Or have there been other projects you've all worked on together?
For my own projects? So this is the first day that I have involved my family in so far.
Yeah, but you were saying you're glad that everyone took it up, yeah?
Yeah, like, I can remember when I released the first episode, the origin, / the beginning. My sister and my brother were like, they're going to give it a listen. And it was, their reaction was something I didn't expect. Like, I expected people to be like, yo, what is wrong with you? Why are you talking about our father's business online and people are listening to it? You know, my mom was kind of like that last week when I released that last episode. But I understood where she was coming from, a place of worry concerning how like my tone was and everything, and her not understanding why I had to go that far to, and considering its legacy of the father, she didn't feel like that was a legacy. But now that's part of it. Like, a legacy is never perfect, let me tell you.
And you know, like, legacy also has its map of the map of its journey. It has to start somewhere. It's not just the good, it's the whole story. It's not just bits and pieces. Has this been also of benefit to your family in any way, would you say? Because as you said, you were expecting them to probably approach it with some negativity, some level of negativity, and then they took it up quite positively. Has it been of any benefit that you know to the rest of your family?
Well, I don't really know exactly, but I think it has shown my mother another side of me.
Yeah.
That she never understood. Like, when she listened to the first episode, she was like, you were not really close with your father, because in my mom's head, I was the closest to my father, because I was the one that showed his personality. Like, I talked like her, but like in terms of jokes and some ways of thinking, I thought like him, so it made me seem more like him. So she thought that was the closure, but me, I was meaning closure in the sense of comfort, where I would say I was comfortable with my father knowing what my life really was. And let me tell you, if there's anything that was guilty, was when people were telling me that I am sure he's proud of the man you are right now, and I'm like, that's a lie, because me, I'm not even proud of the man I am right now. So how can you tell me he's proud of that? So yeah, that process. But anyway, and for my siblings, well, my sister is happy she's online. My brother and my uncle, the chairman, the elders of the family, well, they're just happy to support. There are other people who are part of the family, in terms of connections with my brothers. They also showed so much support and love for my creativity, and yeah.
You've said something that has quite triggered me right there. I wouldn't say it's a red flag or you projecting something that's quite on the inside, but I want to ask you this one. Do you think your dad would be proud of you right now with what you have done with this podcast and basically bringing your family together and giving them a platform to share and grieve and express themselves and laugh together and have these shared memories? And it's just not being your sister or your brother or your mom, but it's basically brought together people you maybe had not even interacted with before, and all of a sudden you have to hear their stories also, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, like, would your dad be proud of what you've, do you think your dad would be proud of what you've done?
Oh, that's a very that's a very big question. And if I'm being honest, like, let's push aside all that, you know, think positive, you should feel proud of yourself, you should feel accomplished, you should feel all that. Like, personally, on the inside, I don't know, because anytime I try to imagine my father looking at me, it's not more of like what I'm doing, it's more of like, who am I on the inside? And I still don't feel like I have reached that place yet. In his eyes, okay, like, how will I put this? I feel like my childhood growing up was just like, you know, I want, as much as I am working towards like making my life better, I want to make my father proud. And as much as I might look like I have some achievements to my name, it didn't seem like I hit there to me. Personally, it never seemed like I was there yet. It never seemed to me. Like, to him, he might have been proud of me, but to me, I never saw it as him being proud of me. To me, I was like, I've not done it. Like, especially growing up as a kid, my younger age, like in primary, I was a very brilliant student, apparently, and then when I came into secondary, the brilliance left the room. You know, the brilliance left the room. My education was wanting so bad. And it became a thing of an embarrassment because I was going to the high school. Like, the people who created the high school, as in, it's under Winners Chapel. And that's where my father was pastoring for years. So people know him, especially because that state is where he started. And coming there and getting the grades I was getting, being the student I was,
what an embarrassment,
you know. And you know, there are other people's kids, then there's Pastor David Labi's kid, that boy, you know, the numerous insults I've received, the floggings, everything that I had to go through, it made me sink more in that form of, my father is really disappointed in me. Like, even when in my final year, it seemed like I was doing much, much better in terms of my talents were finally coming out. I started singing finally. I was engaging in some school activities finally. Like, that, all those years of disappointment just filled my head with, I still have not done something to make him proud.
But that's just how you feel.
That's just how
you
feel.
You do not know for a fact.
I do not know for a fact.
Is this a situation of tragic inspiration, would you say? Like, by tragic inspiration, I mean where tragedy pushes people to get creative and to do things they never thought they could do. Like, I won't go try and explain it much more. I think it's quite straightforward. Do you think this is a situation that you could refer to as tragic inspiration? It's inspiration being birthed by a tragic occurrence.
Yeah, you can call it that, because, like, when my friend Tugi was like, Labi, you should go back to your podcast, because she was featuring me on hers. And while we were recording, before we started, she was like, why have you not continued? And I said, this thing just started as a joke to me. You know, I never knew people actually connected to it. Mm. And the story is like, you're a storyteller. That's what people want to hear. And I'm just like, okay. So in my head is like, now that you said okay, what do you want to start with? Mm. What is it you would feel like you need to address? Because I saw this as a point of not just me airing out like what I felt about that day and letting people know. It was more of other people like me. There's one question I kept asking is like, how is it people have lost their parents and they are still able to move in life, like especially if their parents were like a big part of their life? Because I can tell you, after my dad went, like, I'll tell you, like, what's your goal for this year? I had none. No goals. I had nothing I was looking forward to. I was totally disconnected, like absolutely gone. That's me. I was pretending like I was looking forward to things getting better. That's a lie. I was just like, you know, like how the prophet of doom is in the Bible. I was that in real life. It was like, yeah, you're going to go anyway, so why make the effort, you know? But I don't know. Later on, going in that whole period of trying to grieve, it came to me. It's like, okay, this is what you wanted your father to do. Now that he's gone, how can you do that? How can you do that? So I said, like, I probably need a mentor. And the next thing was like, who can mentor me? Who is in that position that I feel like I can get comfortable with to tell him that, hey, I messed up. What did you do? This is what I did. And I don't know. I just no offense to my mother, but like, I just didn't feel it was her. And actually, the person that came to my mind was someone I met. Like, he barely knows me, but he actually reached out to me and he was like, are you really okay? And I said no. He's like, what do you need? And I told him I need a mentor, and he was like, okay. His name is actually Makru. His power of evolve. And yeah, like, I can text that guy today and tell him like, this is what I'm struggling with. And even though he doesn't know the answers, he sends me a song, he sends me a scripture. Like, yeah, do that. And like, for a man who is as busy as he is, because he has his own family, he has his own kids, I feel so privileged. And it brought so many things. Like, okay, now your dad is gone, what is it you wanted to do? I am still, as lazy as I am, I have such a lazy spirit, which you're very aware of, because you know me, I come shouting ideas in your face, then you come back, what of those ideas? I'm just like,
and then it's
man.
Time to start working on them, and you're like, never mind.
Yeah, like, let's forget it, you know, you can have the idea and use it for yourself. So yeah, like, now it's more of like, have an idea and do it. Have an idea and do it. Even my friend Tugi, she's been helping me with that. She'll have Zoom meetings with me. What's your new idea? Okay, how can you accomplish that? Okay, you don't know. Who do you think would know to teach you how to accomplish that? Let's go and do that. So yeah, she's been the one pushing me, actually. And very many people, Elle, you, Olivia. Yeah, I feel like two of you coming into my life like last year, the way it did, it was God preparing me for this year. Because now imagine if I was not as close to you guys as I was last year ending. This year will have been, woo!
Well, you give us too much credit. You are indeed surrounded by very many good friends. And I want to say something that was, I'm just copying it from someone that said it earlier last week, but I think it's also true about you. If you are surrounded by as many good friends as you are, it only has to show that you are a good friend yourself. Because if you're a bad person, rarely will you be surrounded by good people. So you're also a very good friend, and you've answered that question quite well. I think as we draw closer to the end, okay, that's probably a lie. We might go on for another half hour. It's hard to tell. You know. your vulnerability and openness to the public, like literally the entire world. I think world is even underestimation, like as far as the internet goes. Because if internet stretches out into space, which it does, because that's where the satellites are.
Aliens.
Aliens are also listening to this podcast. Like, what in the world gave you the audacity, the bravery, the courage, the zeal, the urge, the openness, the vulnerability? Those are many things, but yes, to go on and do this and not make it a privately shared podcast or project, but a public one.
I think this is, you know, like how many people have their parts to play in this world. I think like this is mine, because anytime I make a mistake and I like wallow in it, then finally I come out okay at the end of it all. My question is, what of others that are going through this like me? Like, there's someone who has lost their father and they don't know what to do, and like they think like they are problematic in the sense that other people have lost their fathers as well, but it looks like their life is moving on. So them hearing these things is like, I'm not alone. So it's normal for someone to feel like this. It's normal, you know, because someone would be, trust me, it can reach to a point of like almost having a mental breakdown, psychological, everything, because you're like, how is this normal? The other person lost his dad, but he's doing well in life.
And then there's me that's just a
wreck, you know? A wreck in and out. My life is a mess. I'm in a very awful space. But like you saying this, you have made them understand that, yo, I'm not alone. And for those that have not experienced it, they have now experienced it in the truthfulness. Because now there's that thing of just telling them what they need to know, but now telling them everything in detail is like, so this is what it feels like. This is how it is. One of my friends, she was just like, now that she's listening to the previous episode, she's like, she feels like God should have not taken him. Listening to this and combining all my family's things, but you know, at least now she has gotten the experience of what it means to lose someone. And when one of her friends lose someone, she will now say, okay, I have an idea. You know how people get speechless? Because that's one thing I got a lot.
Yeah.
Nabi, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say.
I am one of people.
You know, I don't know what to say. I don't know if I should tell you God is good. Because now that's not even what you want to hear at the moment, which is true. But now, do you know why? This is why. Like, this is what the person feels. And imagine, at times you think my case is bad. There are people who are worse than me. So this is, I feel like that vulnerability is not just for myself, but it's for others like me. Even when I'm singing, when I am not vulnerable when I'm singing, I don't feel it, because I'm like, what does this song mean to me? How can I relate it to my life? If I'm saying, thank you, Jesus, what am I thankful for? I'm thankful for that time you provided for me when I was broke. That time came through when I was stranded. For the people in my life that have held me on in this life, and they have not allowed me to like stay down. You know, like, let me tell you, even you myself, it's like, you, what you did for me in Jan semester, like, I never want to admit it, but like, cause your head will start swelling, but like, you remember that time when I was acting all busy? Do you know, like, you coming to me was actually like something I actually needed, but I did not know. Like the time we, for example, we went to Sitamuli.
Oh yeah.
Like, you were not there, but I kind of felt like I needed that experience, cause I have not had fun in a while. Had fun in the sense of nice talking to people, getting to, you know, enjoy yourselves as you're serving, even though it was a whole lot of work, you know. But like, because I felt like when I came this year, I was just burying myself in things. I was going here, I was going there, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this, trying to seem busy. But like, I was not okay. And then you were just like, Labi, I know it's impromptu, but just come. Just come. It's okay, you know? And like, you made me like start like having to see people in the outside world and all that. Even though I would have just buried myself in my room. So thank you for that as well.
You're so welcome, man. Anytime.
I feel like that vulnerability, I just pray that God give me the grace to share more of my stories, because like I feel like I'm not alone. I've gone through this, and there's someone definitely going through something similar, and they don't know what to do. They don't know if it's normal. They feel confused. But hearing your like that testimony can help them.
Yeah,
that's one thing I know for
very
sure.
True.
So
that's very true.
So that's what I pray my life will be moving forward, as a testimony where my mistakes or my dark moments will help relieve someone, rather than them just like perishing themselves alone.
That is wonderful. That is actually very true. People do overcome by the word of our testimonies, because when you realize you're not alone, there's
that okay. feeling of we are a community.
Yes. Okay. This is not a comedy show, or I'm just gonna say, like in high school, when you get
an F.
But then there's F, classes of F. Like someone has gotten 15, and then you got 18. You look at them and you say,
"We are in this
together.
You know, my bro.
We are together.
My bro.
Tuko pamoja." Oh, tuko pamoja is the Swahili way of saying we are together in this. But quickly going on, and I hope this will be my last question. Considering that this is the legacy of the father, and we are in the grand finale, how is your father living on in you? Apart from the fact that y'all look crazy alike, and you also sound similar. I remember talking to your dad. I think it was 2019. We were coming from practice, Sing Africa.
Yeah.
And you put him on a call, and we talked, and we were planning to come to Nigeria. You know,
that's true.
Just one phone call, and already we're making plans to come to Nigeria as Sing Africa. Mm-hmm. For those who do not know what Sing Africa is, Sing Africa is a ministry group here in Daystar University, where Labi here serves as the music director currently. Sing Africa do awesome stuff, amazing work, basically spray the message of God, specifically message of hope and love to Kenya and beyond, specifically Africa. When they go outside Africa, it is through, they use African music, and I think that's a great ministry that exists. Now, we were supposed to come to Nigeria, but we shall come back to that. This is legacy of the father. How is your father continuing to live on in you?
I would say, like, there's so many times where after I finish talking to someone, let's say someone is going through something, and I don't know where the answer comes from, but it makes sense, and I just say it. And when I'm done, I'm like, "You said that." You don't apply that to your own life, but you just said that to someone else, you know? Like, that's where I feel like his teachings live in me, because let me tell you, my father was my favorite person to listen to. Yes, I've fallen asleep many billion times, like when he was preaching, but I enjoyed what he was teaching. I like he was a teacher, in the sense like I understood what he was saying. I didn't have to think too much. It was like he broke it down, and it was so nice. And they, like, we shared a few moments of like him sharing wisdom with me, because I'll be like, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And he'll tell me what it's like. Like how I was saying, like, I wanted to study theater arts instead of communication. And then he said, no, communication. And now look at where I am. If I would have studied theater arts, I would not be in Kenya. I would have not met you. I would have not met anybody at all.
Yeah.
You know, I would have not been this me. I would have not gotten exposed to the music that I have been exposed to now. So, I would just say his wisdom, his teaching. He actually has a YouTube channel, David Labi Resource Center. it's where like they put his teachings that he was doing when he was alive, and I'm just like, I can't go back to there. Like I go back like when I just want to remember how his voice sounds. Mm. You know, you forget, so you have to remind yourself at times. Mm. And yeah, it's like his teachings live on in me. I just feel like his teachings have been like literally beaten into me. Mm. And it's like no matter how I try to waver, I still end up going to that side. Mm. So I would say his teachings and his wisdom. His wisdom in the sense of how he thinks. Like, yeah, sometimes I can be pretty very logical and smart that will shock my own
that
self.
You even, you know, shock yourself.
I shock myself, like, so many times.
I know Labi. I know myself.
You know,
this is not me.
You know, like, and it always happens, like, when you're having important conversations with people, yeah, and they ask for your perspective, then before you know it, you see me dissecting and breaking it down. Mm. I'm just like, I'm sounding like my father now, you know?
That's a very profound response. Thank you very much, Labi, for inviting me on your podcast.
And thank you so much for agreeing to come.
Well, it's been a long time. Let me not report myself to the world, but yeah, thank you for dragging me and making sure I actually can be a part of this. I appreciate Zana. This is the part I just hand it over to you. But before that, I want to say you've done an awesome job. I know for a fact it takes steel, like guts of steel, to do this, because opening up and being vulnerable is not what African men are known for. It's not really African of us to be vulnerable in the open. Like vulnerability is one, then vulnerable in the open. What are those? Oh my gosh.
You know, no. Who does that?
Yeah. But I actually think it is shunned upon because it is actually the absolute measure of strength. Like if you are actually termed as soft virtues are actually the toughest ones. Things like forgiveness, things like emotion are actually virtues or attributes of the strong only. Like you're a weakling if you bottle things down and don't deal with them, but you are really strong and you are aware of who you are when you go out and be vulnerable and work on yourself and work to heal and work to be a better you. Instead of staying in one place or bottling up things and never really sorting them out. So big up to you. I'm really proud of what you're doing. I mean, sometimes I look at you smiling because you've got one extra listen to your podcast, and I'm like, man, whoever has not listened to this podcast yet, you're the one who's missing out. Like, so what I'm saying is, please share this podcast, let your friends know, let your family know. If you know anyone who will be blessed by this, I think it's a great opportunity. And you like, there's hundreds of souls literally that you are touching with what you're doing by just sharing a bit of your life, a bit of yourself, and what you're going through. And Manze, may God bless you and bless you abundantly. Okay, it's your podcast. Back to you. I'm quiet now.
Thank you so much, Wisdom. First of all, I want to say a big thank you to you who I've told my ideas, and you who have said, okay, you support me. Like, I just need to tell you when and how. You've made me more serious in life. I have to say, I also want to thank Olivia, who has like had my back. Olivia and Nyokabi, if you're listening to me, I'm very grateful. Hey, that girl, that girl be like, hey, Labi, no, you can't do that. We can't be having that, you know? Considering like she just came into my life like last year, yeah. November. Like, yeah. She's already playing a big role. Thank you to Tugi, who forced me back onto this. You know, Tugi has asked me so many times, come back. But finally, it's here. Thank you to all my friends who have been faithful listeners, who have subscribed, who have shared, who have given me feedback. Mm. Thank you to my family, my mom, my sister, my brother, my uncle, my aunties, my auntie and uncle in Mombasa here. Thank you so much for the love and for the care you've still shown for me despite everything that has happened, and you still treating me like your own child. Man, it's not easy taking another person's child in, but they have, and they have been doing a very amazing job. And thank you to everybody listening to this, man. I'm grateful to you. One way or another, you have contributed in my life. And if I have not called your name, please do pardon me and forgive me.
It's not personal.
It's not personal, but... But I am super grateful. I am super grateful. I do hope I have done justice, and I do hope like this keeps this remains something to remember, something legendary, if you may say.
Something and, in like a legacy.
Yeah, you know. Apart from it increasing my CV. But I am super grateful, everyone. God bless you. Thank you. I can't say thank you enough. So please keep sharing, keep subscribing, keep giving me your comments, and I would really appreciate everything that you have given me. So in Isaac's Eyes is done for this series, and we will be back. We are another series, but not anytime soon. We need to let this one soak in. We need to allow it to take its time. But we'll definitely be back, you know? And you'll be hearing more of wisdom in the next series. Imagine.
Oh my goodness. That's a disclaimer. Even I was not aware about, but
you know.
Okay. Okay.
Drops the mic. Boom. Thank you so much, everybody. I'm grateful. Thank you for taking your time for 40 minutes, 1 hour, as it may, to just listen to this Nigerian boy's father's legacy. Now I think about it, it's really weird, someone taking 40 minutes to go and listen about somebody's father. You know?
Yeah.
But you did it, and I am grateful. So, big thank you, and God bless you. I love you all. Have a great day. Have a great night. Whatever time you're listening to this, just make sure you're okay. Keep safe, as we are still hoping for this corona thing to vanish quickly. And yes, please don't forget to follow at big_Isaac1822. And for wisdom, it's at...
Well, YouTube is Wisdom Tiba J. I do spoken word poetry, Christian spoken word poetry, Wisdom Tiba J. Tiba J is TIBAGYE. Or Wisdom Tibs, Wisdom_Tibs on Instagram. Thank you for allowing me to share my handles.
Thank you. You're welcome. And you can find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Radio Republic, Spotify, and many more. Anchor.
Yeah.
Anchor is actually where we broadcast from. It's our distributor. But yeah, I'm just calling just to mention a few, and many more. Thank you so much, and have a lovely day.